Good morning, everybody. Could we please pray? Heavenly Father, I just want to say thank you for this day. Father, I just ask that you would be with me. Father, calm my nerves, calm my heart. Father, I only want to glorify you. Father, I ask that everybody that's here would have open ears and an open heart as well. Father, just please be with us all. In the name of Christ Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen. If you would, take your Bibles and go to Luke chapter 6 if you brought them. We're going to be reading verses 27 through 36. This is love your enemies. It says, "But I say to you who hear, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from one who takes away your cloak, do not withhold your tunic either. Give to everyone who begs from you, and from the one who takes away your goods, do not demand them back. And as you wish that others would do to you, do so to them. If you love those who love you, what benefit is that to you? Even sinners love those who love them. And if you do good to those who do good to you, what benefit is that to you? For even sinners do the same. And if you lend to those of whom you expect to receive, what credit is that to you? Even sinners lend to sinners to get back the same amount. But love your enemies and do good and lend, expecting nothing in return, and your reward will be great, and you will be sons of the Most High, for he is kind to the ungrateful and the evil. Be merciful, even as your Father is merciful." 2 years ago, lost my sister. 91 days later, lost my mom. Just over 6 months ago, I lost my six-month-old, my little grandson, Caden. There has been so much that has changed in our lives. I know the deaths that we've had in our other family here. I know we all go through it. Something changed in me when Malia passed away. I was raised right. You all know my daddy. I wish you all would have known my mommy. She was better than my daddy. I liked my mommy more than I liked my daddy. When you're raised in that kind of household, everything is about watching your parents, right? Go to church. You see your dad studying. Your mom's on a couch reading her Bible. Mom was the one that took care of everything at home. Dad was always gone preaching, evangelizing. But then he'd come home and remember to spank us. But here's the reason why I tell you this. All my life, taught right from wrong, taught that Jesus loved me, taught that I was a sinner, taught that I needed forgiveness, and taught that I need to forgive. When I watched my sister dying, I saw that put in action. I saw the love of Christ in my sister. When you grow up and you constantly are in that kind of household, it kind of becomes second nature, and you can kind of, when you hear it, and this sounds horrible, too much, you kind of, I don't think desensitized is maybe the proper word, but always the same message, doesn't matter what day of the week, from two people that are responsible for taking care of you and loving you, and that's all you know. But then you walk out into the world and it's different than what you're seeing in your household. Do you understand what I'm saying? So as a preacher's kid, when you see the attitude of Christ being displayed in your dying sister's actions, it just takes it to a different level. See, we're pretty good, I think we're pretty good at being church people, of playing church. And I'm not saying that to hurt anybody's feelings. I've been in the church all my life. But let me be honest. I've seen people walk down the middle of an aisle and threaten my daddy while he was preaching. I've seen churches turn on my mom and daddy. So not all of my memories of church people are great, right? I sit here and I read this scripture, and let me tell you why. Ever since Malia and Mama died, I've been studying the Word of God like I never have. But at the same time, I'm paying attention to the worldly stuff that's going on. I'm a news hound. I pay attention to what goes on in the world. But there's something that's more important to me than what I call just the worldly stuff, okay? I kind of separate them. There's worldly stuff, and then there's godly stuff, okay? I watch a lot of atheists present their claims of why there is no such thing as a God. And you would ask, why would I care? Because if you noticed how militant the world is becoming, have you noticed how harsh it is? There's not much respect when you walk out these doors. There's a lot of hard things going on. And here's the new thing that's crazy to me. Some of these atheists know the Bible better than some of the people in the church. You don't believe me, go try. Go look at it. It's easy to find. Y'all ever heard of Christopher Hitchens? That guy's good. He's good. He studies the Bible. He's looking for a loophole. He's trying to make himself feel good. But here's the bad part about Christopher Hitchens. See, when I hear people knock Lord Jesus Christ, I get mad. I really do. It ticks me off like you wouldn't believe. And then when I start to finally come to my logical side, I sit there and I look at a person like Christopher Hitchens. And I sit there and go, brother, what you're advocating for and for all the people that you're leading astray, he doesn't understand the wrath that will come upon that man. See, every single one of us will stand before the good Lord himself without question. It doesn't matter to me whether you believe it or not, you will stand before the good Lord. You will give an account for everything, all your thoughts, all your actions, all your deeds, all your motives. You will stand. There is no way out. There is no loophole, as Christopher Hitchens is looking for. You will stand. When God asks you a question, you will have to tell you the truth, even if it's the most disgusting thing that is the truth. See, from my point of view, I can only look at myself because I don't live with you all. I live with a thing called Kyle. Man, try that one on for size. Come on over. It's a lot of fun. But I can only look at myself, right? You know, the more I read the Bible, the more I see myself as how deep of a sinner I am. You ever been reading the scripture, get to a part that hurt real bad, close the Bible, and get ready to walk away because it hurts so much? You ever had that happen? You know why? Because it's truth. It's truth. That's all the scripture is, truth. Truth, 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 truth. I am a sinful man with unclean lips, and at times I have a very unclean heart and a very unclean mind. That's just the honesty of who I am. It doesn't matter to me that I had a great mommy and I have a great daddy, and my daddy's a great preacher, I believe. I think Pastor Brian is a great preacher. I love that man. It's fun when he works for me because then I pick on him. He wrecked one of my work cars. I'm still not letting that one down. Did you all not know that? Oh, yeah, well, I know this is on video, but he wrecked one of my work cars. But when you read the scripture of loving your enemies, and I know who I am in reality, I don't feel so good about myself. I really don't. So what I do is I have to jump to the cross. And I sit here and I read something about loving your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who abuse you. To the one who strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. From the one who takes from you, give it to him. And but I'm saying they're looking at this cross. Did you know there's not one thing in the account of the crucifixion where Jesus Christ, during all of the time of the beatings and the crucifixion, that he lashed out in any kind of word of hate towards anybody that did anything to him? Can you imagine that? I've gone after people for a lot less than that. I've gone after people. You push me, I push back. That's how sinful I am. I know it's wrong, see, because it's like I was telling the boys this morning in class. We as humans, when we don't like something, our first instinct is to act emotional and think emotional. And after the emotion part of it starts to subside, then automatically, and this way God made us, then logic starts to set in, and you can start to think about things, okay? And it's just the way that he made us. I wish I, as a person, would sometimes just pause about 5 to 10 seconds before I'd open up my stupid mouth. I have torn people down. I want you to listen to this. Proverbs 18:21. Our tongues have the power of life and death, of blessing and of cursing. And instead of uttering curses or slandering your enemies, choose to speak blessing and life for them. Speak God's goodness to them the way Christ spoke life to you. We have a choice, each one of us, on how we act. Look around. Just look to your left and right. What do you see? What do you see? You see a few people sprinkled here and there, right? How many empty pew seats do we have? Do you know that every empty pew seat we have, that's actually a name of a person that hasn't been invited? Did you know that you can try to invite one person? I got friends that my best friend, I'm constantly inviting him to church. Oh, I'd love to go to church with Dougie. Then when Saturday night comes and say, you going? Nah, I got stuff to do. Guess what? I'm not going to give up. But each little empty spot, there's a name there. You don't know what the name is yet, right? But there is a name that's supposed to be there. There's a person that's supposed to be there. Could be an enemy. Could be somebody that you work with that you don't like. Could be a family member like Kyle. But my point is, God drew the lines in the scripture, but continuing on with the cross, who would be our enemy? I know we have enemies. Anybody that would do harm to me, my family, in a physical sense is all I'm talking about, you're my enemy. And you will be met that way. But that's only in a physical sense. What about in a spiritual sense? People have the right to have different opinions of us, the church. They have that right because it's called free will. God doesn't want anyone to go to heaven that doesn't want to be there. Could you imagine how miserable they'd be if they were made to go to heaven, but yet they lived like Satan on earth? They would be miserable. Miserable. So how do you go, if you're taking this scripture, what is it that you should be gathering from my babbling? I have two comments. The test of a true Christian isn't our attitude towards our friends, but it's our attitude towards our enemies. Think about it. I love this church. The more and more I'm around y'all, the more and more I love to be with y'all. I applaud you guys. I'm so happy that you've been so kind to my baby sister. Malia is the one that passed. Amy has been my best buddy since we were little bitty kids. And I love that woman with all my heart. She is an amazing sister to me. And she loves you all. I get to talk very honestly with Amy, and she loves you all. I see what she talks about when she's talking about each of you. I haven't been here that long. I really appreciate what you all have done for my daddy. I know in my heart that my daddy is not going to be here that much longer. That will leave just Amy, me, and my brother left in a very short time. And that's okay. That's the way life works. It's just the way it is. It's just a reminder that maybe we take for granted the days. We take for granted the message. I think we should enjoy each other, right? But I think we ought to be doing everything we can to reach out to everybody, including our enemies, right? You know, as you stand up here, this is so nerve-wracking to me. My heart's just thumping like you wouldn't believe. And I tell you why. I don't deserve to be on this platform. It's like I was talking with Mike, and he says the same thing. Down there, it's different. Up here, it's a lot different. It's kind of scary to me. See, I don't think I deserve to have the right to be able to stand up here and talk to you about a great living God. I don't think I have that right because I just see myself as just the sinful man that I am, I guess. Right? Do you understand that? But what's at the heart? I have to confess probably, I don't know, 30, 50 times a day to my Lord and Savior because I mess up so much. Sometimes I have just a bad attitude and I have to ask him for forgiveness of that. Confession is good for the soul. Each one of us are called to do the bidding of Christ. We have this great preacher, Brian, and his wife. It's not all their responsibility. He might have been called as the pastor, but actually the responsibility falls on each one of us. We're supposed to love him and support him, right? We trust him to be our leader, but we don't need to send him out to the wolves, okay? We can go with him. The wolves are at the door. You ever wonder why the world is messed up so bad as it is? According to Scripture, this might hurt, but it's true. According to Scripture, did you know whose fault it is? It's our fault. The people who are Christians, it's our fault. Do you know why? Because we lost our first love. We're acting more selfish day by day. See, the way God can't condone that. Because in the Scripture, the Lord says, I will be your God, and you will be my people. I will be your God, and you will be my people. Each one of us, if you've accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you were bought and paid for with blood. With blood. The blood of a perfect God. I can't even comprehend that. I can't even comprehend it. A sign that we are not on the right track. All the empty pews. That's our fault. It's our fault. Please don't be mad at me. I'm not trying to hurt anybody's feelings. This is what I go through daily. The more and more I read my Scripture, this is what's happening to me. There's got to be a reason for it. I believe God is drawing the lines, and he's asking you to choose. Whom are you going to serve? Who are you going to serve? Is there any doubt that this world isn't getting ready just to experience something horrible? Listen, either the faith that you have in Jesus Christ is a real belief that dictates your behavior in a positive way, or it's no belief at all and you might as well stay home. It's not doing you any good, not doing anybody else any good. How many enemies are we snatching out of the pit of hell? I'm not picking on anybody. I pick on myself. I'm ashamed of myself. But you can't, when you read that scripture, I just can't sit there and look at it and ignore what it says. If he tells me something, then I need to sit there and look at what's on in my heart, then I really need to take a look at what's in my heart. I need to be right with Christ. It's that important. It's literally that important. I wish it were different. I wish it was easier, but it's not. But I know Jesus loves me. I know when I ask him to forgive me, he forgives me. And I know one day I'll live with him forever. I will see my mom and my sister and my grandson again. I'll see all of my family members that have gone ahead. I'll see members of the church that have gone ahead. I look forward to that. But right now, all of us have a job to do as a body of Christ. Look in your heart. Don't walk away from this service and not check your own heart. Please. Let it be for something. I agree. I understand that I'm not very good at this. I understand that. But don't walk away and ignore what the Scripture says we're supposed to do. Do good. Pray. Bless. Do good. Pray. Bless. I've shared my heart. You know, Friday night we had the Forge, and appreciate it, gentlemen. I appreciate it. You guys are very kind. Over in Acts chapter 20, we were talking about Paul and his final farewell to the leaders of Ephesus. Paul knew by the work of the Holy Spirit that he was getting ready to go back to Jerusalem, and that's where he would be imprisoned and eventually martyred. And he knew that. The Holy Spirit told him that. And so what he's doing is he was sitting there having a conversation with these elders. And he was saying that I've been with you for 3 years to admonish you, admonish, just to warn. He says, I've done it with love in my heart. And he says, I've gone from house to house to share the love of Christ. And he says it means something. But what was the impressive part that Paul repeated, I believe, 2 or 3 times, was that he did it with tears. That's how he shared the gospel. He told truth, but he felt something. He had the love of Christ in him, but when he was looking at the world, the enemy of the world, remember, according to God, anyone who is not saved is considered an enemy. That's just the way it is. And so Paul knows this. Paul's been given the job, the task of going out and to preach the gospel, as are we. And he does this every day, honestly. But the scripture says he did it with tears. Have you ever noticed, since I've even been, that I cry? Don, you've known me for a long time. See, a lot of people sit there and go, Even pastor's wife, Dawn, she goes, "You're an intimidating dude." Me? I'm a big teddy bear that cries all the time. Is it not true? Yesterday morning, literally, I cried for about a half hour. I was spending time with the Lord. I was in his presence. And I'm standing there at 5:30 in the morning in my kitchen while my son and grandson is sleeping. My wife, she goes to work at 3 o'clock every morning. So I'm standing there in my kitchen, got the praise and worship music on, and I just start bawling. And it's like, oh, Lord, please be with me. Help me. But just cry. Man, it's really good for the soul. You ought to try it. Anybody here a crier? I mean, be honest. Are you a crier or not? That's a gift of God. It's a gift of God. How serious do we take him? It's up to you. How many people we snatch out of the pit of hell? It's up to you. You can't do it yourself. You do have to have the leading of Christ. You have to pray before you go. But he just says, are you willing? Who's willing? I'm not saying what needs to be done is an easy thing. It could be a scary thing, the way I see the world. Please check your heart. Please. I promised that I would share what was on my heart. That was it. No, I'm not a preacher. Forgive me if I did wrong. I'm sorry. But my heart is right. I just don't do this too well. And I'm sorry.